They could land four people down at one time. They were designing one. So maybe one of those two or both will get contracts. But, you know, I believe in redundancy. You know, if one don't work out, you have the other one. I mean, it happened with the Dragon crew vehicle, along with the Boeing system, which is, give it another couple of months and you're going to have a crew on that going up to the space station, Starliner, on Boeing flight. You know, that was redundancy. Which one was going to do it first? Well, Boeing had all kinds of problems. And it worked out. At least we had SpaceX making all these flights now. But still, you know, I mean, we'll eventually have two going up. Anything could happen to Elon Musk's vehicle. And then, you always need a plan B. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, very good. Well, they're crazy, not stupid. It's a bunch of people. And they know that NASA's going to run late. If NASA say they need it 2025, they know that probably not going to be really needed until 2026 or 2027. And there's another factor here. I think it's the Starship design they need to fly, orbital flight, and re-enter isn't necessarily the same design they need to do a lunar flight. The lunar starship does not need to fly in the atmosphere, does not need to deal with Earth's gravity well, doesn't need to do a lot of things that the orbital starship needs to be. So it may well be a completely different design. What do you think?
Yeah, okay, but I haven't seen any development of it yet. So, maybe they're not printing it in the news. If they're going to do that, show us the design. One problem they do have is they need to do something major that's really never been done before. They need to launch the Starship into orbit, Earth orbit, before it goes to the moon. Launch another one with a fueling capability. Have them dock in Earth orbit, refuel one with the other. And if they don't have that capability of bringing something back yet, that means that one's going to be scrapped, the fueling one. All right, so now after it's fueled, that one will supposedly go to the moon, hang out and wait for Orion. Now, with that now it's completely fueled, that will be able to go down and land on the moon. That fueling thing around Earth has never been done before. So they got a long way to go, I know SpaceX is fast at development, so hopefully that holds true. Not that when I say fast, even their boosters that they save now, they were supposed to start doing that back in 2013 or 14 or so. And it was always, like 4 or 5 years delayed. I wouldn't want to be the company when everybody's ready and now they're waiting on me. I just wouldn't want to be that company. And I can see that happening. Like you said, I agree. NASA's going to be delayed. Everything's just, always delayed for years with NASA. But look at this mission right now. Well, they're not even halfway through the mission yet, but they're going out to the moon and then coming back. From what I heard, they beat expectations by a mile so far and on everything so far. So, that means the next flight won't be delayed. a crew flight will go out to the moon next year. Late next year. Anyway, back to you, Frank, and then with this time, I'm over. Over to you, WS2S.
Hey, Frank, this is
Jim.
Yeah, I'm very good. I guess, you know, I was thinking about this morning, and it seems like NASA sort of has kept the German engineering philosophy, if you will, and I mean that in a good extent, that was probably implicated in the organization by Wernher von Braun. I'm not sure if I pronounced the name exactly right. It's got to be perfect before it goes. No, and it seems like they still build things that way. It's a completely different concept than the fast prototyping concept that SpaceX has. And I understand Air Force is the Air Force and their more traditional contractors have adopted for designing something called the B-21, which is supposedly going to be a replacement for the B-2-1. Built faster and less expensively, supposedly. The other thing is the orbit refueling aspect of that is, I believe, is being funded by Space Force research projects to do in-orbit refueling, I guess, because Space Force wants a capability similar to what the Air Force has, that in flight refueling a jet aircraft. So, I think they're doing that under yet another separate contract. Go ahead and then, you know, move on to your next segment. Yippee TVX, though.
WB2BX, OWS1. I haven't heard that, so it's good to know. Thanks for that. The Space Force getting involved. So, yeah. We'll see how it all works out. Yeah. But I just don't see them being ready. Yeah, he's got this attitude. Well, you know, just shoot a rocket up. If it doesn't work, we'll shoot another rocket up over and over again. You know, if NASA did that, you know, they'd never get the contract. The money from the Congress would stop if they saw explosion after explosion. But he's a private company. He can get away with that. And, yeah, front of Von Braun, and they really believe in doing it right the first time. Let's not have any accidents, you know. Every one of his F1 engines that were attached to the Saturn V, and five engines on the booster, they all were successful. I think they had one flame out, you know, but they had plenty of power from the other engines to make it, you know, to make it to orbit. They all work. They say Blue Origin is similar to that. That's why he's so many years behind the way he's doing things as well. So, I don't know. NASA tried it years ago with like going to the planets, going to Mars. Where Golden was NASA administrator. He was pushing this build, you know, faster, cheaper system. And sure enough, they thought launching one rocket after the other to Mars. They lost a climate orbiter. They lost a Mars polar lander. That crashed. Another one that was supposed to land. The Observer, they called the Observer. They started to have one failure after the other, and that didn't work out. So they went back to doing things with Spirit and Opportunity. That worked out really good. By the way, a movie coming out, if you have Prime, I don't have it, called Good Night Oppie, Oppie for Opportunity. It's supposed to be like a regular movie, a documentary. Sort of a trailer on it. I don't know. It looked pretty good. But only being shown in some select movie theaters and none by me. You have to go to Queens. I'm out in Suffolk. But if you have Prime, you can have it. You can watch this thing. Anyway, that's a story. I'm going to send it up to Roy. Thanks, Frank, for your input. As usual. Over to you, XYA82GSW S2N for the space net report. For the tech net.
Okay, very good. This is AC2GS. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the space net report. Thank you for all that you do on the technical net. Thank you for all that you do for the club. We all appreciate it. Yeah, good night, Oppie. It tells an inspirational true story of the rover Opportunity that was sent to Mars for a 90-day mission, but ended up surviving for 15 years. So that might be interesting. Anyway, once again, thanks to everyone who participated tonight. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you learned something. I hope other people thought other people things. And I still have my two little micro puzzles in my back pocket, hopefully for next Sunday. Always like to have puzzles. So thanks to everyone. Have a safe week. Have a good week. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much. Don't eat too little. Just right. And have fun with your loved ones and your family. As Dick would end his many tech nets, be kind to each other. And that's always good advice. And my little quote from Epictetus, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. Set in mind, and be open to new ideas, nonsense. Anyway, this is Alpha Charlie 2, Golf Sierra Roy here, ending this session of the Kings County, of the LiveWire technical net. It's too late, my brain is shutting off. Have a great week. Come back next Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we'll try and do it all again. This is HS, and I am clear.
Happy Thanksgiving, Roy, and me and everybody else. 73, catch you next week.
Yeah, happy Turkey Day, Roy. Went over to the local Minute Clinic, and wife and I got COVID tests today. Some potentially vulnerable people coming to Thanksgiving. Actually worked out fairly well to do it at the Minute Clinic, but it's probably harder to get them to do it in New York. Sounds pretty, Roy. Sounds pretty, Paul. Very nice mess. And I will look for that movie, WB2 again.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Frank, as well. Catch you later. WS2N clear.
Roy, if you're still here, and don't have to rush off, how the 10 meter network out today with the propagation and what's going on? Go ahead.
This was my week off, but I reported. It was quiet. Unfortunately, propagation was very poor. Maybe about one or two transmissions on the whole band. Howard, KB2MSU, did a little local net for about a half hour and then called it a day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that I run out and do a bunch of things this morning. I don't have a chance to get on. That's disappointing. A friend of mine running a 100-watt school whip on the West Coast worked at 57DX on the 17 meter, one of the big stations with Scott DeRays and Nana Slovenia. But I know there was some aurora today, and I'm not surprised because this is a disappointing on the higher frequency. What's a Korean station on 15 meters at about an hour after sunset, but even a remote with a decent dipole kind of too weak, and I gave up after a couple of minutes. It might be pretty easy to get through. But the conditions were up and down today, I guess. Let us see. WB2DX. Have a happy Thanksgiving for next Sunday, if you want.
Thank you, Frank. Have a great Thanksgiving. Anyone who's listening in, have a great Thanksgiving. It's going to be, the weather report was rather nice. It's going to be in the 50s for a change. It's been rather chilly here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Franny and I are going to come up to Brooklyn on Wednesday. I'll pick up our apartment in Brighton and get to where my sister's in Upper Westchester up here in the appointment for Thanksgiving. You know, we're rather relieved to hear the temperature, the weather is going to moderate. Anyway, have a good night. I'll be using CBS.
Will do, Frank. 73.
Do 1 2 W, dig this.
Night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WVL repeater. Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Here is WB2EAV listening.
Nobody's talking, huh? Casey, when I see him, how you doing?
Yeah, how are you? I know. Well, boy, it's cold. I don't like the cold at all. And I got a lot of stuff to do outside and stuff to do in my garage. Trying to get a hold of my heating and air conditioning guy. I have this brainstorm. I want to see if you can put heating into my garage, because I want to work in there, and I have no heat. There's no heat in my garage at all. And if this winter is going to be this cold, I want to work in there. So I gave the guy a call, left a message around. I also want to put heat in the basement. I have a heater that I put in a few years ago, but it failed, and I forgot. I turned it on, because the basement is rather chilly. And it didn't go on at all. And then I remembered that when I had it on last time, last winter, it stopped working and I smelled something burning. And then when I was on with the workbench and I turned around and I saw smoke coming out of it. So I turned off the circuit breaker to it. It operates on 220 volts. And it's a small industrial heater. And I didn't open it up to see what burnt out at the time. And then of course I forgot. I said last winter, oh, I'm going to replace it, but I never did. So Now I want to see if I can get a another one.
Nothing like a cold night to make you want to get your heaters working. I got bad news for you. Hit 19 degrees of field last night. We were pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Coolest yet this winter. So yeah, base hunt might be easy to do, but I don't know what kind of heat it is. Sounds like it's electric. That shouldn't be too difficult. I don't know if you have hot water heat or hot air. I think you have hot water. Base water, hot water. That's easy to put a zone downstairs. It's relatively easy. The garage, however, that's a different story. To run a zone out there, that's a problem because it'd have to be really deep underground, and they'd have to use like places up north, instead of just water in the baseboard system, they run antifreeze solution, so that it doesn't freeze at all. And that's only 50%, I think, as effective as just water. And you know, what do they call it? Specific heat of water. Or water antifreeze solution, you know. You don't get as much heat out of it, bottom line. So the area of the radiators have to be larger. But maybe you could put an electric one out there, too. That's just a lot cooler. Good luck. Good luck. Maybe a separate burner, I don't know. It can all be done. So get your checkbook ready.
Yeah, there's a cost factor with everything. No, first of all, the garage, I would definitely put in electric. I like those industrial heaters that hang from the ceiling, and you can either have it gas operated. I have gas in the house. I can run a gas line if I wanted to the garage, but I that would be a little bit pricey to do. But I already have electric. I got 60 amp service coming into my garage, into my circuit breaker panel, and I put that in. So running a heater in the corner of the garage, hanging from the ceiling, not a big deal for that. That's what I would do. You know, forced hot air. You know, just a blowing hot air, and I would just turn it on when I'm in the garage, and I would turn it off. Of course. If it's a really good heater that blows a lot of air, it should not take long for it to warm up the inside of the garage. Even though there's no insulation on the inside, the outside is stucco. So it's sort of insulated, but I don't have any insulation on the inside. So just enough to raise the temperature. Enough so it's more comfortable, and it's only for days like today because it's just cold outside. Basement's another story. The basement I can always I can add another line to the furnace. I have a number of options. I can put in another electric heater in the corner, same thing, an industrial one. I got gas in the basement already. I can put a gas heater in. There's a couple of things I could do. I could either do it myself or just have someone do it. So we'll see. But the thing is, I got some work coming in that I need to get done. That's going to keep me busy. There's another potential job that someone's calling me about, which will allow me to, of course, make some good money, but at the same time, work in the garage. Winter, so we'll see. And everything else that I'm doing, I'm trying to get caught up with the little things now that I got to get out. So that's the story, and it is cold. Yeah, 19 degrees. Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know how cold it got here, but it was not into. I don't think it went down to the teens, but I know it was in the 20s. That's for sure. And judging by what it feels like outside now, it's. I would think it's pretty close to freezing or just below it point. But they say it's going to be back in the 50s by the middle of the week, so it's supposed to start warming up today, later on.
Yeah. One of my comments was going to be, I thought the timeout was turned off because I never heard a timeout in a long time. Well, most of those heaters you're talking about hung from the ceiling or from the rafters are 220. I don't think your 60 amp is 220. So that might be hard to do. Or you run a separate line from the house, an additional 220-volt line out just for the feeder. Or you run a gas line out, you know. So anyway, yeah, downstairs is easy. That's within the house. Yeah, you'll get it done. You'll get it. And I'm sure trying to get that guy today, the coldest night of the year so far, be a good look. Probably 37 phone calls behind right about now, but people whose furnace ain't working. But it'll happen. Don't give up. I bet you got a phone call. Casey, when I see him, stand by.
Hi, W-81FM, WCDM.
Yeah, I figured you had a phone call. I just sent him by.
No, my gardener was downstairs. I saw him walking up my driveway. Went downstairs. He gave me a couple of things to fix. That's another reason why I want to put heat in the garage. I fixed small engines, you know, gasoline engines, lawnmowers, snow blowers, and all that stuff. I got a lot of parts, because I used to fix those. I used to fix those engines years and years ago, but I started doing it again. He's got some work for me. which is good, I can make some extra money. Which I like doing also. In fact, I just fixed my snow blower, my own. That works fine. But I could rebuild an engine if I wanted to, from scratch. So he's got some stuff that he wants to drop off. So that's why I was away from the radio. So I didn't hear everything you said, but I have 220 60 amp service in the garage. I got a 220 air compressor. And I got a small machine shop in the garage. I got a lathe, I got a drill press, I got a bandsaw, horizontal, vertical. I got a small milling machine, got a welder, a bench grinder, and you know the list goes on and on. So I got that stuff in my garage if I need it. I have it. It's all wired up. I got an outlet strip. It's all connected to, and I got 220. My air compressor runs on 220 in the garage, and then I got my other workbench where I do the other repairs. The heavy stuff, the stuff I can't lift. I have one of those lift tables, one of those hydraulic lift tables, because some of the radios that I pick up or the amplifiers are so heavy. They weigh like 100 pounds. To lift that up to a workbench is hard. So I put it on a lift table and I just hydraulically lift it up. So I got all that stuff.
Yeah, sounds good, Casey, when I say them. Well, yeah, I didn't think the 60 amp would be 220, but if you got 220, you're all set. They make those heaters big and small. I don't think I have one of those catalogs here now, but I get these catalogs. One of them is a farm catalog with farm equipment, and they have heaters like that. You just buy, hook up yourself if you want it. Again, I don't know how heavy it is, but you got the lift table. And, yeah, why not? That'll be the easiest. If you got 220, yep, that's the way to go. In the house, well, probably another zone off the heater. So, but you'll work it out. You talk to the guy, and you know, he'll know all the ins and outs, and you come to a decision. And or you can do it in your spare time. You know, you remember what spare time is, right? Didn't you have that once? Quite a long time ago. How many years ago? Back to you. I gotta get moving here, but I'll stand in for another round.
Alright, yeah, what spare time? I have a spare tire. So, yeah, I just had my walkway, I think I mentioned to you, the apron to my driveway, I needed replacing, and the walkway, the squares in front of it, needed replacing, so I just got that done last week, so that's nice and level and smooth now, so I'm not too worried about somebody walking on it in the winter time when it gets icy. You know what I wanted to do years ago, just to as a thought, I had a new driveway put in, complete from the whole length of the driveway, and it's a blacktop driveway. That was I was always thinking of putting in some kind of heating system in the driveway, so if it snows, it would never accumulate snow. As soon as it hits the driveway, it melts. You just have to raise the temperature just enough. So, you know, like putting salt on ice. So, I was thinking of doing that, but of course it's expensive to do. And there are people that I know that have done that when they have really long driveways, so they never have to shovel, at least that location. But there's a cost factor.
Hey, that's done. I've seen it up here. I mean, I know of it. My driveway is dirt. It would never work, and it's 800 feet long anyway. But I find that the fact that it's a dirt driveway means it's rough, but the roughness is good when it's covered with snow, so it works for me. But yeah, if I had a walkway or something like that, I would give some thought to it. One of the places, Depot, Lowe's, they have, there's a special flexible line, a water line that you snake in. There's a formula how close they have to be as you snake them through there. And then it's just another valve off of your hot water furnace. Again, if you do that, I think it's got to be an antifreeze solution, not just pure water. I don't know if they make electric ones for under there. I don't know that. So anyway, yeah. Well, next time, your next driveway. Actually, the driveway, you don't have to worry too much, right? It's a walkway in front, so what you really got to be concerned with. So once you get in the driveway, you're home free. Back to you.
Exactly. W8CDO. Yeah, well, you get the idea, you name it, and there are companies that make it and sell it, provide it. Of course, depending on how much you want to spend. All right, it's 9:45. I have another job to do. I actually have to go over to the tire place over here because they have a problem with one of their machines that I keep fixing over and over again, and I don't know why. I don't know what they're doing to this thing. I just fixed it 2 weeks ago, gave it back to them. They were happy. It works fine. Now they say it stopped working. It's not holding a charge. So, gotta find out what's going on. I just got a call from them. So let's see what happened now. All right, that's about it. I'll let you go, and I'll catch you from the car. I'll be leaving shortly.
When I see him. Yeah, I'm going to walk down and get the paper, so I'll be off the air for a while. I'll take the plane. Flynn's having a good day today. Does good in the cold. He's not doing great, but he's doing good enough, you know. So we'll go down the driveway and then go for a walk down the road a little ways. Sometimes bump into a neighbor. A couple of them walking their dogs up. We always stop and chat a bit. So I'll be back a little later anyway. So Casey, when I see him, be clear. Nice talking to you. And yeah, you told me about the walkway put in. I went down. I carved my initials in it, remember? They got my initials in there. They're down near the little corner down near the road. So, 73 is Andy. Good chat.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember now. Very good. And say hello to Flynn. Good he's having a good day. See you later, WHCDL.
Will do. He's already outside the leaves, laying in the leaves, waiting for me. 73.
W2, Peter.
Fly Mark Infonet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
W2.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL.
W-H-1-U-B.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Here is WP2EAZ listening.
Hello, Ed.
Good afternoon, David. And yes, it is just barely afternoon. How are you doing?
Can't complain. Spending a lot of my time looking at the news.
I've been spending a lot of my time looking at the news an incredible amount for a number of years now. And to tell you the truth, I've always been a douche junkie, so it's really not out of character for me.
What is your favorite news source?
I believe in the way they make wines. I mix and match different things. I try to have a wide source because they don't always agree, and that also keeps me from flying with my head up and locked in a bubble.
Well, I don't know. I like to think that if I know the exact source of the news, then I know whether it's going to be a bit slanted or whether it's going to be 100% truthful or whatever.
I have found none of them have reached that high bar for me. Although I must admit, I limit myself to the ones at least that become respectably close, so that when you see the different coverages, you get the big picture. And I painstakingly avoid the ones that don't meet my bar.
QSL. But you can get the whole story, you know, maybe in a picture, you know. Can get the whole story, you know, point of view, op-ed, like Ecuadorian soccer player bathing in a bathtub full of money.
Well, yeah, but I have always found that the people who write the news are human, and it's not always the person who is intimately familiar with every subtle nuance. Sometimes any news organization provides pressure, and I find that you're better off going to a different variety. And I'll tell you, when it involves something fairly abstract and technical, they all get it absolutely dead wrong. I bring to case the recent horrifying plane crash of about 10 days ago where two historic airplanes were destroyed with a loss of 6 lives in a mid-air collision. That one really, really, really bothered me. Every accident that takes 6 lives is, of course, a tragedy. But this one even adds another element, is some history was lost. I assume you know what you're talking about.
Yes, you know, certain news providers, you know, they have an object, they want to get something, they want to accomplish something, they want to create to get public opinion on something, you know, most of the time they want to get something. So, you know, how to understand those kinds of news stories, you know?
Well, I'm saying everything in the major media, these people had no idea what they were talking about, and it showed. So I had to do with one of the things that would normally horrify me. I have a number of sources on YouTube videos that I looked at, and normally it would horrify me, but when you get this far into the weeds, usually these people are fairly serious, and they all give their own opinions, and you read their opinions, and you develop, which may be fairly different. And I've developed my own composite opinion, so now I feel I really understand that story, but it was a lot of work to find out.
QSL. Well, you know, let the information just sit inside my head, you know. And I'd like to say that I try not to judge or measure, you know, what's being said. Although, you know, somebody can talk about, you know, some young man going to school, but they don't say what kind of school it is.
That's another one that they gloss over what you consider to be critically important parameters. That goes across the board. Even the ones I consider the best news sources often mess that one up.
KG2RY. Well, everybody knows what that school is, so-called school, you know. And the news provider knows what kind of school that is. But they never tell you. They never tell you what it is. Now, they don't want to be clear about that because they have some kind of interest, you know, to create a public opinion.
Let me give you a rather innocuous example of that. They often rank high schools, and their ranking technique is typically, literally, how many students enroll in AP classes. Now, that's a noble goal, but there's no question of how well the kids do in the classes, or if they even pass, and there's absolutely no mention of the fact that there are other ways of getting college credit than AP. And this came close to home because my kids in high school got a fair amount of college credit, both AP and non-AP classes, while the neighboring school only offers AP and shot way up in the rankings, and no one bothers to explain this. I am here, I have to run. Just say that as a fairly innocuous example that came close to home to me. I got it wrong. KG2RY, WB2EAV, listening to your final.
QSL, Ed, fine business. I want to wish you in advance a wonderful Thanksgiving. 73 for now, WB2EAV from KG2RY.
Thank you, David, and you have a good Thanksgiving too. Is that WB2EAV?
testing.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Everybody knows that, even me. W8 when you be.
Maybe he wants to warm up the heater.
But want to warm up the car so I could warm up my hands so I could grab the cold steering wheel. No, this car does not have a steering wheel heater. Some of the newer cars have that as an option. Heated, you know, heated steering wheel. I do have heated seats. That's a plus, but the steering wheel is not, and I could have gotten a car that had that, so, especially on a day like today, you know, people don't realize if we have a cold steering wheel, and it's sometimes hard to steer. How you doing, Rudy?
All right, just, I'm outside the house. Let me know if I'm making the repeater. I'm using my FP60.
Yes, you are.
Okay, I found the magic antenna. I don't know, Andy. To me and to everybody that's in the car business, as you start the car, wait about 15 seconds, which is about the time it takes you to fasten your seatbelt, and you drive it, it'll warm up a lot faster, and you won't be wasting gas. And it's a significant number through the winter that you waste on heating up the car when you drive it. So my car spews hot air out of the vents by the time I get to the end of the block. It's amazing how fast they do warm up.
Let me see if I have it. Yes, Rudy, you're absolutely right, but it's based on an assumption that people are dressed for the weather. And while the car warms up, they are not freezing. I suspect Andy is not following that goal. I mean, I have a special steering wheel preheater that I bought at Harbor Freight Tools. It's called the Pair of Work Gloves. It really helps tremendously on that cold steering wheel. Andy?
Yes, you could buy thermal heated clothing that would keep you warm. And those are the people who work outside. And, yeah, they work outside and during the cold days and need to stay warm, so I can buy that too, to an outdoor place that sells outdoor clothing. But I am driving. Yeah, when I say warming up the car, I only, when I say, so look, to clarify, when I say warming up the car, it's only for 30 seconds or so. I just got in the car, just as you called. So I'm already on the road.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was going to mention gloves. I was just out. I went back and forth to, microsensitive return of keyboard. And I get in the car, I start it up, and you know me, I'm a big wimp when it comes to cold weather. And as I said, by the time I get to the end of Wilson Avenue, the car is starting to warm up. It's not a big deal.
Well, I I've always said you should dress for the weather. And I find, I've had people say on bitterly cold days, they don't have to dress up, they're going from the house to the car to the office, to which I'm saying, you are one flat tire away. I mean, even new cars have even brand new cars have problems. And you are one little incident away from being beyond miserable, so why not just, you know, throw something in the car just in case? Whereas I'll throw it on me so I'm not cold while the car is cold. I've always found that works for me. All right, Andy, so where are you headed now? It's got to be exciting. I mean, you warmed up the car, it's all ready to go, and your hands are warm, the steering is good. So where are we going?
Well, I'm certainly not going to Florida, although I'd like to this time of the year. No, I'm just heading into Lynbrook. I got to see someone, which I'll tell you about when I see you in person, or when we get together. I have another job to do. It's a side job that I'm doing. Guy called me and wants me to stop by, take a look at something, and that's what I'm doing now. Yeah, the biggest problem for me, it's cold weather, is my nose keeps running, and I'm tired of chasing after it. You know, I get out of breath because it just doesn't stop. So in the warm weather, it doesn't run, but for some reason, it kind of does it in the cold. And doing it right now, so I got to take care of that. As crazy as it sounds, but it does keep me, it keeps me exercising for sure. Yeah, Rudy, go ahead.
I have a similar problem. Probably related to my advanced years. But as to cars, I know people that can warm the car up in front of the house for 20 minutes. And it's an incredible waste of gasoline to warm. And the car will heat up much faster if you're driving it actually. And it also heats up the gearbox, which is kind of in front of the house. It doesn't heat up the gearbox.
Rudy, you got to go back to your magic spot because I could not hear what you said. You are very noisy and your audio is so low, all I hear is noise.
Well, you got everything that was important. Noise. Okay, I got to go back in the house. I was trying my FQ60. I haven't moved, actually. I'm sitting in the same place. All right, I'm going to sign WA20 roof. Will be clear, but listening in the house. We're here.
It was just a thought. I don't think your signal is rated so much as you started talking low. You kind of got relaxed and comfortable and weren't speaking up. So your voice-to-noise ratio went down. Although the noise stayed constant, so you lost intelligibility. So meanwhile, Andy, so you're telling me you're going on a glamorous business trip. The fact that it's over to the next town is just a minor detail.
All right, WA2CDL back. I had a phone call while you were talking. Rudy signed. He said he's going back in the house. What did you ask me about a business trip? Ed, repeat that.
I said the way to look at this is you're going on a glamorous business trip. And my comment is that the fact that it's just the next town over is just a detail. You have